You work very hard to make money, and spending money wisely becomes a challenge. Money is one of three important resources we all need to manage diligently. If you are not skilled at spending money, you will be wasting a very precious resource and putting a lot of stress on yourself and your relationships. How you spend your money defines your wealth. Most people think that saving money is the best way to build wealth, but let me tell you, that's half the story. The most successful people on the planet know how to spend it. In today's episode, I'm going to share with you two rules to spending money that will help you build the best wealth imaginable. I'm Sam McCool, and welcome to A Higher Branch. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of A Higher Branch. If you are a new listener, please hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes. Sometimes I've found that even one tip that you will hear on this podcast can cause an outright revolution of transformation in your life. I know this because it's happened to me many times from reading books and more recently from listening to podcasts. So, you know, I always cover topics that could be on your mind, but some topics will be more relevant for you than others. But I always produce them with the utmost of respect for your time and love for your potential. So again, welcome. Well, today I'm going to kick off the episode by reading to you an excerpt from my book, A Higher Branch, Chapter 8 in particular, on the Tree of Wealth. But before I go on, I want to ask you a question, a personal question. What do you spend money on that you would consider to be a waste? Now, I bet if you look back on your finances for the whole year and you circled all the items that you now think were a waste, there'd be a lot, right? I'm betting it would be at least 20%. Why? Because I've done this myself in the past and I've seen what happens when I drift in the wrong direction where I'm spending my money on stuff that just ends up collecting dust. And when is the time that we are most susceptible to wasting our money? It's usually when we are bored, right? I remember the first time I spent a lot of money on something that I thought was utterly ridiculous. I was bored. I couldn't go to sleep, so I was watching late night television. And this is in the 90s, so I'm showing my age where a lot of you will remember these ads. Yeah, where they were infomercials, where they just sold stuff. And I was a sucker for that stuff. And I bought, you know, knives, I bought the ShamWow, I bought, you know, courses on, boosting your memory. Now, ask yourself, what is the other stuff where you waste your money? Is it on expensive cars? Is it on expensive restaurants? Is it on expensive clothes or jewelry? Is it on a big house with a big mortgage that has you working so many long hours to pay it off that you don't even get to spend quality time with your family? Now, these are really confrontational questions, and apologies if I ask you these questions, but I need to have you thinking before I make my point about how you should be spending your money. And I ask you these questions without judgment and with the utmost of respect. I don't know the answer to those questions. It depends ultimately on your means and how much money you have. But my point is, we should never spend too much on one area of life, which robs us from spending money on other more important areas of life. So my number one rule here is that you should be spending money on the eight areas of your life. In other words, you should be investing in yourself. You know, buying a pair of sneakers is investing in your health, right? Buying good quality food is investing in your health. Getting good quality education for your kids is investing in your kids' future. My point is to spend your money in areas of value, in the eight areas of life. If it's health, your relationship, your family, your work. For example, at work, you could be spending your money on attending courses, reading more books, learning a new skill. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So before I go on, I want to read to you an excerpt from chapter 8 of my first book called A Higher Branch. Now, I know this excerpt off by heart because I recount it many times to my family and friends. And underneath the heading of the Tree of Wealth, there is this tagline, and it says, "The rich get richer, but the wise get wealthier. In my life, I have learned that wealth, just like happiness, is not something that can be pursued. Rather, it is that which effortlessly flows when we live a complete life filled with person. The old man taught me that wealth is a state of mind and not the state of my bank balance. The difference has a lot to do with what we invest in. What you invest in ultimately defines your wealth. He taught me about the safest and most rewarding investment that would yield the most abundant wealth imaginable. He taught me to invest in myself. Now, for those of you who haven't read my first book, A Higher Branch, the book is a fable about a young boy, Tom, who loves to climb trees, as I did when I was young. One day he goes into the woods and loses his way home. And there he meets an old man who introduces him to his eight areas of life that were planted when he was first born. The tree of health, love, family, work, friendship, learning, wealth, and charity. For those of you who have been listening to this podcast, you'll know about the eight areas of life. It's my roadmap to life. It's my North Star. And I've been sharing almost all of my content with you in the context of the eight areas of life and the circle of conscious living. They're my two frameworks. And they're my own proprietary frameworks that I designed, the first one at the age of 19 and the second one at the age of 35. Now, on that note, I'm going to stop it right here and I'm going to share with you a very short snippet from a talk I gave about the book. And it was a talk that I gave at the last Upgrade Your Life event in 2020, which seems like so long ago now. Incidentally, we will be holding Upgrade Your Life 2025 and the theme will be Forever Young. But anyway, back to this snippet that I want to share with you because it really puts you in a picture. And in it, I explain the metaphor of the eight trees of life. Let's go to that snippet right now. I want you to first imagine that when you were born, your creator, or God, or the universe, planted eight trees dedicated to you in this beautiful green meadow. And when you were old enough to understand, your creator walked you to the front of these trees and said, "Notice how these trees have branches and a canopy that lean on each other and support one another so they can withstand the winds of change that blow their way." And then your creator said, "For as long as you are climbing each one of these trees of life, they will continue to grow. But the moment you stop climbing them, they will stop growing and stop producing fruit." And then your creator walked you to beneath the trees and said, "Notice how these trees are connected all below the surface through their root system. They feed each other." But then your creator cautioned, "The splendor and the tragedy of these eight trees of your life is that if one withers and dies, it will impact the health and the happiness of your other trees of life." I wanted to share that clip with you because it gives you a visual of the essence of the metaphor of the eight trees of life. And as the old man shares wisdom with young Tom about each of those areas, Tom gets closer and closer to finding his way home. The story serves as a simple metaphor for how, as adults, we often lose our way in life. You know, being lost is a terrifying experience for a child, but as adults, we accept this negative state as a normal way of life, and then we drift aimlessly without passion or purpose. So the story highlights the tragedy that in our evolution into adulthood, we are never given a practical guide to life. In the story, Tom is given that simple guide by a wise old man, which you will find out is Tom as a grown-up, who coaches him on the importance of living consciously and the importance of focusing just as hard on your personal life as you would your work and career. The story also dares us to see ourselves as that little lost child. It provokes the question, if you could go back and guide yourself as a little boy or girl, what lessons would you teach? More importantly, What would that little boy or girl be happy with the life you are living right now? These are confronting questions. And look, the book is in two parts. The first part is where the old man introduces young Tom to his eight areas of life, represented by the eight trees. And the second part is how to climb higher in each of them. And the first tree of life, as represented in the book, is the one that is in the middle of Tom's garden of happiness. It's the biggest tree in the middle, right? It's the tree of health that fills the fundamental human need for energy. This tree has four branches that represent your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energies. The second tree of life is the tree of love, and that fills a fundamental human need for intimacy. Third is family for support, work for fulfillment, friendship for belonging, learning for growth, wealth for freedom, and the tree of charity for contribution. So in today's episode, I'm focusing on the tree of wealth and the two rules that I have personally lived by all my life. These two rules have made money, for me, a source of freedom rather than a source of stress. It has allowed me to build the best kind of wealth. And I'm sure by the end of this episode, it will change your relationship with money. There are two metaphorical branches on the tree of wealth, and I explain that in the book. The first branch shoots straight up into the air to point to the midday sun. So imagine the sun right in the center, and it's summer, and this branch goes straight up. And this branch is very difficult to climb, but at the top, it has lots of beautiful fruit on it. This branch represents money and the investment in shares, real estate, and other financial instruments. The second branch is one that curls out to the side. It's easier to climb, but it curls back in to meet the other branch at the very top. So anyone that climbs trees would know that the best way to reach the amazing fruit at the top of the left branch is to first climb the branch on the right. The right branch has a lot of smaller branches on them, seven of them in fact, and each of those sub-branches has lots of fruit on there. The second branch is a metaphor for the seven other areas of life: health, love, family, work, friendship, learning, and charity. So, which means that as you climb that branch, as you're climbing those seven other areas where your true wealth lies, you are rewarded along the way as you climb higher. Then when you get to the very top, you will meet the left branch where you will make lots of money. So the right branch is a metaphor for how we should invest in ourselves first. I don't know where you are in your life at the moment. You could be a student. You could be in your first job. You could be single. You could have just gotten married, or you're married with kids, or you are retired and your kids have grown up, or you're still working and your kids have grown up. You know, I've met many people on that journey, and I have noticed that people who pursued money first, that first branch that goes straight up without investing in themselves, find it very difficult. It's a tough branch to climb. Ironically, they actually made the least amount of money. Even if they, I've met some people who stumbled across some sort of monetary success where they do make money, they end up with money, but they end up with no wealth. What I mean is that they have money in the bank, but a broken life in the process. People who chase money by trying to climb the left branch first find themselves as a cautionary tale with health problems, broken relationships, and most sad of all, they've lost the ability to have fun in life. Imagine having all this money in the bank but don't know how to have fun, which is why the introduction, you know, to that chapter 8 says the rich get richer, but the wise get wealthier. If you are wise, you will invest in yourself first. You will invest in the second branch to the point where your life is so good that you don't even need money for freedom, right? Let me explain what that means. Wealth represents the fundamental human need for freedom, where we can live life without regard for money. If you have it, great. If you don't have it, you still know how to live. So the right branch, the one that is easier to climb, as I said, represents investing in all areas of your life first. This is where you don't defer your happiness on the promise of making more money. That's what my generation did. This is where you focus on defining your wealth before you build money. You see, there's a symbiotic relationship between the eight areas of life. If you are listening to this on YouTube, I'm going to put the diagram up right now of the eight areas. Otherwise, if you're on audio, you can head to ahigherbranch.com and find the same diagram on the homepage. Now, you're going to notice from that diagram that all eight areas are connected, which means that if you are successful in one, then you will become successful in the other. So to climb the tree of wealth, really, you need to be climbing higher in the areas of health, love, family, work, friendship, learning, and charity. Right? That's your wealth is good health. It's having a loving relationship. It's a strong family bond. It's work that fulfills you. It's friends that make you laugh. And lastly, it's having a sense that your contribution to this world is valuable. Now, this leads me to the first rule I want to share with you. And that is the best way to spend your money is in the eight areas of life. Just like I explained in the first important resource in the last episode of On Time, you need to be spending your time in the eight areas of life. Likewise with money. For me personally, I never spend money unless it is under one of those eight areas of life. So if I buy running shoes, I'm investing in my health. If I go to the produce market and buy fruit and veggies, I'm investing in my health. If I buy a book and gift it to a friend, I'm investing in that friendship. So you can see where I'm going here, right? This is why the eight areas of life has been my roadmap. That's what keeps me focused on the right things. You know, a lot of people talk about the importance of why. I don't think we should start with why. I think we should start with what we need to focus on in life. And the same when it comes to what we should be spending our money on. Now, some people listening to this might say, well, Sam, I don't have that much money, so the question doesn't really apply to me. My answer is that it's not about how much you spend. It's about what you spend it on. And if you spend it in the right areas, and more specifically on the eight areas, I promise you, you will have a life of freedom where you can do what you want, when you want, without regard for money. Now, I'm going to demonstrate what I mean. If I go through my bank statement and look at all my spending patterns, I promise you that you will not find one item on that list that is not dedicated to one of the eight areas of life. And that's really the essence of my rule. Any investment in the eight areas is an investment in your freedom. So I'm going to give you some examples from the eight areas just to make it clearer and it'll make more sense. Let's start off with health. If you have plenty of money and you can afford a personal trainer for exercise, then get a personal trainer. But you don't have to have much money to exercise anywhere, anytime. You don't even need a pair of shoes. You can do push-ups, squats, sit-ups, the plank. You know, there's so many calisthenics out there that you can, you know, go on YouTube and have a look at. You can go for a long walk, a jog, or a swim. You know, I do a series of exercises with rubber bands that is extremely effective. You know, for motivation, I train with friends or I use music to lift me. Now, none of that costs money or very, very little money. Now, if you prefer to go to the gym, but you cannot afford that, then that's not where you should be spending your money, because the second rule to spending your money in the eight areas is that you need to have enough money to spread across all eight areas without neglecting any. You know, the essence of that first framework, the eight areas of life, is to make sure that you don't neglect any area of your life, which is what most people do in their life. They spend so much time at work and neglect other areas of their life. Then they get older and they have health problems because of working too many long hours and too much stress. And then they focus on their health only and neglect the other areas of your life, their life. That's not how we should be managing our life. That's like a little league soccer team that kicks, you know, the soccer ball over there and they all run that in that direction. And then they kick it over there and they all run in that direction. That's not the way to spend your life, right? There's no use you spending big money on gym memberships and personal trainers if you are taking that money away from other important areas of your life, like your family, your home, your kids' education, quality of fresh food, medicine, supplements that you may need to take. What about family? When it comes to your family and your home, what I want to ask you this question, and this is a question I often ask my friends who often complain about not having enough money to do this, or they'd like to spend money on that. Let me ask you this. What difference does it make whether you sit on a $2,000 dining chair or a $30 chair from IKEA? Let me tell you, it doesn't change your experience of sitting and enjoying an evening meal with your family. There is no difference. A chair is a chair. Your children don't care. They don't sit and say, oh, wow, I love sitting in this chair and this is making my food digest better. They only remember the talk at the table, the love in which the meal was prepared and the healthy taste of fresh food. I'm sitting in this chair recording this podcast to you. Let me tell you, it's not an expensive chair. It doesn't need to be. When it comes to your love life and your relationship, what difference does it make whether you go out on a date to a restaurant or whether you go on a picnic with some sandwiches or whether you cook at home? If you want to go to a restaurant with your partner and you can afford it, then go to a restaurant and spend the money. But if it means not having enough money for the other areas of your life, then you should not. I know that sounds simple, but this message is simple. Focus on being real. Keep it real. I would say that when you cook at home, in fact, and you are both in the kitchen cooking together, that's a way to bond. I love doing that at home with my wife. Even cleaning up afterwards can be an exciting experience. My wife and I will put music on and sometimes dance in the kitchen as we are cleaning up and cooking. Let me put it to you in a question. Who do you think has wealth? This will actually demonstrate my point. The couple that went to a restaurant and spent $300, and it's not that difficult to spend $300 in a restaurant these days, let me tell you. Or the couple that stayed at home and spent $40 on groceries and then had an equally great experience. Both are wealthy, both couples, if they spent what they could afford. But what if I told you that the couple that spent $300 on a restaurant was struggling to pay the rent or their mortgage? Then that is an example of what not to spend your money on. It's setting you up for poverty. Real wealth is about enjoying life on any budget. It's about having freedom. And spending money that you don't have to get further and further into debt is a form of slavery. That is, in effect, what I'm saying here. Having a picnic in the park where you just pack sandwiches, for me, is wealth. Having a barbecue with friends and having a laugh and a beer in summer, that is wealth. Having peace of mind where you go to sleep at night, that is wealth. Having a job that fulfills you and working with people that are supportive and innovative and exciting to be around, who inspire you and challenge you to come up with new ideas and work to the best of your ability, that is wealth. That is how I define my wealth. Borrowing money to buy things that have you working long hours to pay them off is not wealth. That's poverty. A big home loan, a big car loan, does it really matter how big your home is or where your home is? Does it matter how fancy your car is? Borrowing too much to buy those things will only lead to stress. It'll only lead to arguments at home and compromising the other areas of your life. Ultimately, it will only make you poorer. You end up making less money. But look, don't stress. Now you have the rules I shared with you. And it's a practice. Now you have the eight areas of your life as a guide of where you should be spending your money, which means that when you are somewhere and you are in the moment where you have to decide at that point of sale, should I buy this item? Always go back to this number one rule and ask yourself, will this add value to one of those eight areas of my life? And secondly, ask yourself, will buying this item take money away from the other eight areas of life? So in other words, even if it fits into one of the eight areas of life, the second rule is, will I still have enough for the other areas of my life? If not, then don't buy it. The truth is that making more money only happens when you spend your money in the eight areas in a way that does not compromise that state of freedom. When you feel free and fearless, and not trapped by debt, you will be more effective in life. You will be uninhibited by limits. You will be more effective. You will be more charismatic. You will make more money. I promise you, that's just the way it works. And to demonstrate my point, I'm going to leave you by reading an excerpt from the end of chapter 8 on the Tree of Wealth, where young Tom asks the old man, "How can money just flow to you? You make it sound like it happens by magic." And the old man responds by saying, I never forget this because I wrote it. "Good things happen to people who live by and invest in these eight areas of life, Tom. Some say that such people are just lucky. But I say that when you invest in all 8 areas of your life, you put yourself in a position to take advantage of opportunities that come your way. When you live a complete life that makes you happy, healthy, and loved, you start to develop a positive frame of mind and a warm attitude. What does this do? This attracts good things and good people to you. And these often come with opportunities to work and invest in new ideas that excite you and makes money for you. And that's the end of the quote. Now, let me tell you, that has been my experience in life. Whenever I have spent my money in the wrong areas, I've become lost and made mistakes that cost me. And I have lost my mojo in the process. But I've always had the 8 areas of life as my guide to return to. My book, A Higher Branch, you know, it's not a story about someone's perfect life. It's about the mistakes that we make on our journey. And more importantly, how to get back on track after those mistakes. And when you define your wealth holistically in the 8 areas, you start to live a great life where you are happy without regard for money. You will notice as you climb higher on that right branch that I talked about at the beginning of this episode, you will then reach the top of the left branch where you can start to invest in things like shares and real estate. But investing in yourself comes first. So look, I hope this podcast has helped you in some way, and I sincerely hope it makes sense. I could have really gone into so many areas of wealth management, but I wanted to focus really on the fundamental rules for freedom, because freedom precedes wealth and of the monetary kind. And in future episode, I will dive deeper into wealth creation. I'm going to have some experts on how to get your money to work better for you. But look, on that note, thank you for listening. And if you know anyone that would benefit from listening to this podcast, please share it with them, because this is a time of year when people make a lot of money mistakes. They spend much more than what they need to. And as a divorce lawyer, many years ago, I'm not a divorce lawyer anymore. I'm a banking lawyer. But I noticed back then that the number one reason for divorce and relationship breakdown was financial hardship. And this usually happened after Christmas. Why was there so much divorce after Christmas? It was because people were spending beyond their means. And you really don't need to. And the examples I've given you show that you can live a life for freedom, of freedom. You can live a happy, contented life. You know, when we came here from Lebanon, my parents had very, very little. And I don't look back and think, hey, I missed out on things in life. I don't. I have extremely happy memories because my parents were smart with their spending. They focused on the things that matter. And what I share with you are not only, you know, lessons that I've learned in my personal life, but lessons that I've learned from my family, from my parents, and from the people that I've met on that journey. That's why I remind you sometimes that really our life makes a lot more sense or has a lot more value when we share our lessons with others. So please share this episode with the people you love. I really believe that when you put good things out into the world, good things come back to you. And hey, you'd be also helping me spread the message as well. That's why I produce these podcasts. And any way you can help me out would be great. You know, any way that you can help me reach others would be great. But if you prefer not to, don't worry, no rush. I hope you stay on this journey with me, and I have some incredible episodes coming up. And if you prefer to post things and publicly share it with people publicly on social media, you can tag me in it, Sam McCool, that's M-A-K-H-O-U-L, or you can search for us under A Higher Branch. And a reminder that I also recently kicked off my YouTube channel. Now, there's not that many views on there, and we're only new, but it's a humble beginning, and I'm in this for the long term. Anyway, thank you for listening to today's episode. I'm going to leave you with the same message that I do every single time. And that is, every morning is the dawn of a new day and your opportunity to start a fresh approach. On that note, I hope you have a great day. And as always, don't forget to live consciously, my friends.